Yeah, what it do, y'all? You know, already know what it is. This is your host, B.
And I'm Q the Don.
And this is the Kimi Podcast. Listen, man, I want y'all to do me a favor because I be checking the Instagram and I really want y'all to really connect, man, as our listeners. You know, y'all really important to us. A lot of things that we do kind of behind the scenes, even up-to-date episodes we post on Instagram. So I want y'all to check it out. It's Kimi_podcast. And we also got links on there with, like I said, different episodes. And then we got a questionnaire. I really want to highlight the questionnaire part because I really want y'all to kind of be engaged and connect with us. Even if you want to get on the podcast along with us or you got any subjects that you want us to kind of talk about, man. Listen, we here for y'all. With that being said, man, Q, how everything, brother?
Let me see. Everything going pretty well. I ain't really got nothing new going on, man. Everything going pretty well. Can't complain. How about you?
Ah, man. Honestly, I don't know where to start at. I'm going to tell you, man, one of the struggles that I'm having right now is navigating parenthood with my daughter. And I'm going to tell you, and my son, too, as well, man. I ain't going to school him because he can be a little knucklehead. But, man, I'm going to tell you having a daughter, right? Mm-hmm. And you know how you was as a male growing up, and then you kind of see your daughter kind of going through the same thing, but you get to see the other side of it.
That's tough.
Yeah, man.
So that's
one of the toughest things ever, man. Just kind of navigating and not, come at her from a judgmental place, you know what I'm saying? But just having a conversation and trying to not be so aggressive and come at her in a certain type of way, because again, I didn't kind of show the ropes. I'm like the cheat code, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying, for as a male giving her insight with men. But you know, once you kind of fall in love, you know what I'm saying, everything go out the window, yo.
Man, I'm gonna be honest though. Shout out to all y'all parents, man, because I think that's one of the hardest things to do, because you don't never know if you're doing too much. You don't know if you're doing enough. Yeah, and then, the way we grew up is a little bit different than the way they grew up. So, like, trying to find that healthy balance, and then it ain't no playbook. What worked for one parent and their kids might not work for your kid. Right. What worked for one of your kids might not work for the other kids. So you got to be able to just fine-tune for each situation. So shout out to y'all, man. That's something that... I think it's very tough.
Sometimes you don't know if it gonna work until, they get it, because, again, a lot of times, like, I identify certain struggles I had when I was growing up, right? Mm-hmm. So my daughter, and I identify certain things within her moms. Me and her moms ain't together. So, and it been like over 18 years ago. But, basically, and my daughter stayed with me. Know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so, and she been staying with me for the last few years. So, a lot of things, I got a chance to kind of really zoom in on her about certain things and stuff like that from a man perspective. Mm-hmm. But also it really been kind of tough though. But the thing I really want to highlight is the fact that, identified that she struggled with certain things. And you allude to it in our group chat with boundaries, mm-hmm. what I'm saying, creating healthy boundaries and stuff like that. And that's one of the things she struggled with. And so ironic, I struggle with that too as well, mm-hmm. And I was able to kind of help her navigate through that. And it's always going to be a constant thing. Like I told her, it's one of the things that ain't going to never go away, like creating boundaries with people, one of the first things for your sanity. Because if not, like a lot of times, sometimes she get burned out and then she go in her room and then, she be there for about 10, 12 hours, because, she be in performing mode for other people. And, it's one of the things I told her, to help with. But when it come out of a relationship, And my son, he's so smart to say he's so young, you know what I'm saying? He helped me. I mean, even though we kind of been through that lane before growing up, but he was just saying, like, it's a pressure with young kids, man, with, like, you know, having somebody, you know what I'm saying? Having a boy, you know, if they ain't got nobody, then they kind of, you know, it's bored, you know what I'm saying?
With young kids?
Yeah, with young kids.
He?
Huh?
How old is he?
13. But he would just explain it to me.
Like,
from,
like they been like,
he's, yeah,
like
he's,
seriously dating? Like they're thinking they should have somebody? I'm asking because I really don't know.
Yeah, in order to, I guess for them, you know what I'm saying, I guess to pass time by, you know what I'm saying? Or when you're in school, like say Vincent, somebody see you talking to somebody, you know, for a long time, oh, y'all must be dating. And then he was like, you know, most of the time they get pressure into like being with a person ain't really nothing. You know what I'm saying? Then they get a little different in high school because you got like that peer pressure.
Yeah, that's real.
Especially with all your friends got somebody and you just feel like you got to have somebody. You know what I'm saying?
It's kind of crazy to me because it's crazy in the generations because we didn't feel that pressure. Like we talked to people, we had girlfriends and stuff, but it was just because we wanted to. It wasn't no social status. It wasn't nothing major. It didn't mean nothing. Like it wasn't no thing with like, at 13 years old, you kind of got to have somebody that solidifies something. Like we just did it because at that point in time, you're a young male, you're a young female, you're interested in the opposite sex. So you're around this person, you at school, you know, that just puppy love stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't no pressure. I think these kids are growing up way too fast, man. I think social media influences in school, peer pressure, like, but the rush to grow up so quick, I've never seen nothing like it is now. And I don't understand where it come from. But it's probably when we were younger, it seemed like we were in a rush to grow up quick. So the same stuff that looks unfamiliar to us, I'm sure when our parents was watching us, it looked unfamiliar to them. But I would tell any child, man, be a child as long as you can, because when you get grown, bro, that's the rest of your life. Like, and when you get grown, you're going to wish for these. Man, you'll be surprised how many times we sit around, like we might be in the hood or something, like talking like, boy, we used to do this, boy. Kids today, they don't remember this, boy. We used to have fun. We used to boom, boom, boom. Boy, when you get grown, some of the same people that you grew up with every day, man, when you see them, it's like a reunion because you don't even get time to really see those folks like that.
You don't, though.
So if you a child, man, just like really, really, like they say, stay in a child's place, man. You adulting to come quick enough. And when it comes, you're going to realize, boy, adulting ain't what I thought it was.
Yeah.
I don't care if you got all the resources in the world. Adulting still is not what you think it is. So like, man, it'd be plenty of times where I'd be sitting down like, boy, the old days, I ain't appreciate them as much as I should have. But, boy, I wish some of them days could roll around again. So, man, I don't know. These new, like I said, the new generation, they're a little bit different.
It is a lot different. So, yeah, that's kind of part of my little, you know, thing I had going on for this week, really, over the weekend. But, yeah, like, that's really it, man.
Oh, no, that ain't really it. I got one more for you.
What
happened with you, because I see you still ain't off that in the group chat. What happened with this business thing?
Yeah, man, I'm glad you said that, man. Like, my shout out the Trey, man, Millionaire TK, man. You know, before I even put anything in the chat, basically, you know what I'm saying, I came across a little situation with, you know, business-wise, and I reached out to the young lady, and she didn't respond back. But she eventually responded back, but it was like, you know what I'm saying? Like on some next day type thing, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then I respond back to her and then she ain't never respond back. And so, you know, basically with that, you know, I ran it in the video, in the group chat about it, you know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. got y'all, you know, y'all opinions on it. And like, basically, you know, when Millionaire said, he's like, man, B, you just gotta have like compassion for like, business owners and stuff like that, you know. And I was thinking to myself, like, I get it, but I ain't never in my life heard a business owner, you know what I'm saying, have that perspective on things, you know what I'm saying? And that junk just had triggered something. I even let my, you know, I was talking to my old lady about it. She was like, what? Oh, hell no. Nah. Like, and like, me, you know what I'm saying? Me and her, you know, click like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? We got like, you know, we different, but when it comes down to business, man, like we on the same wavelength, you know what I'm saying? And I ain't even gonna lie, like we strive for perfection, you know what I'm saying? And so with, you know, I just couldn't believe that he even said that. And ain't nothing in my mind going to change that. Like, even he throws, and then this, then he want to throw Bible scriptures at, like, and then I realized, like, the Bible scriptures that he was throwing at it, like, you know, reading through it, man, it was for a specific context of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, like, how you going to throw that right there with and put business behind that? In that specific scripture, it was for, you know what I'm saying, a different context, mm-hmm. different mold. So, you know, I just wasn't buying that. Sometimes I be feeling like, you know what I'm saying, maybe I be saying stuff, stepping on toes, and I probably step on his toes, and he came with a defense like that, you know what I'm saying? But if only thing, my thing is, if you want, you know what I'm saying, you want better, you do better. You know what I'm saying? Don't expect the customers to feel like, you know what I'm saying, they should have compassion for a business owner. Like, don't, you know, for me, you ain't never going to get that from me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm mm-hmm. not never going to have compassion for it. Like, you know what I'm saying, for no business owner. Like, and okay. I mean, I got to have compassion for every damn thing that, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I, mm-hmm. my car, you know what I'm saying? Like, I brought a car and, you know, and it came from the manufacturer and it jacked up. Like, well, I'm going to have compassion for that? That's, man, no, man, I ain't feeling that. Right, I ain't never going to feel that.
So in trade defense, man, I think, like you, I think what him and I was trying to do is see it from a different perspective, because you could use every moment in life, even if we feel some type of way, to kind of like grow, even though it might not be applicable to that scenario that you're speaking about. We could still pull some growth from that. But as far as compassion go, man, one day you might be a business owner and might need some compassion from somebody. So,
but I ain't expecting that, though.
Nah, you're not expecting it, but still.
I ain't expecting that in life either, though.
That's,
you know,
true,
what I'm
saying? But at the end of the day, if you preach a certain message and you live a certain way, that's where your tests come in at. And I agree with you 100%, because I would have been mad, too. Like, I'm not. See, a lot of times what people like to do is take the human emotion out of, even when it comes to spiritual stuff, they like to take the human experience out of it. You're still a human. You still have emotions. Now, we could also learn how to better deal with those emotions and kind of, you know, find a way to adjust it. But at the end of the day, you have every right to be mad as a customer. Yeah. If I'm reaching out to you, if you're reaching out to somebody and they're not responding to you, or they playing that game. But like I said, every moment could be a teachable moment of, how could I have dealt with this? Or let me try to get myself, because I'm getting furious. I'm getting like frustrated. Like, and that's like when we go out to eat, like my girl would be like if it's taking, like the example that you use, if it's taking too long, bro, I ain't feeling that. Like, I'm not feeling that. Like, especially when you make eye contact with me and then you look away, like, I'm getting mad. But also, too, that's when I have to check myself, like, yo, be patient. You don't know what they got going on in that back. You don't know if they short staff. You don't know if they got the right amount of food back there, if their inventory is right. So if it's that displeasing to me, I need to get up and leave. Yes, that's an inconvenience. Yeah. But sitting up there mugging somebody, for me, at that moment, ain't going to do no good. That's when I have to take a self-observation, like, okay, let me find something else to put my mind on besides me waiting on this food.
And I get that part. And let me clarify some stuff, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always handle things in a professional manner. You know what I'm saying?
Most definitely.
But I'm going to tell you, just because, you know what I'm saying, like, things might not be right, like, it's some consequences to that set off a chain of reaction. And just to give some context to this whole thing that we're talking about, I started off with saying effective communication can, you know what I'm saying, get people to the point that they can't kind of understand, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So if you don't effectively communicate certain things that, like, you might have some issues on your end, then you know what I'm saying, right, compassion come from. That's basically what I was saying.
Right, and that's why I took the tone that I took, and I was like, bro, now that you explained it like that, like, I could see it. Like, because my thing is this, like you said, effective communication. If you are backed up, give me a chance to have compassion for you by letting me know what you got going on, because now with that lack of communication, now I'm not knowing what you got going on. So now it feel like now you, like, bro, like, what you got going on? Like, okay, if you say, if I'm ordering a cup from T's Cup, And so I done sent in the pictures I want. I done sent in everything I want. Now, all of a sudden, I'm like, hey, I want to make a change to this. And all of a sudden, T don't respond no more. Now, T got me feeling some type of way. Instead of just saying, hey, man, I'm going to get to your cup. I got a few cups on back order. Communication is a big thing. And I feel like as business owners, the systems that you have in place, if you can't do it yourself, you need to have somebody that can hey, an assistant. Like, I'm sorry, like, you might not have the bread for it, but this could ruin your business. Bad communication can ruin your business, especially when you're doing it yourself. Like, yeah. You're not a multi-million dollar company, so you're doing it yourself, so you need to have good communication or get you an assistant, because when yeah. you have customers just in the dark about what's going on, then you know, you like, bro, that's bad business.
No communication is bad communication.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so that's basically how all that kind of came about. You know what I'm saying? No communication lead to me overly thinking, creating anxiety in me, and then be like, you know what? I'ma just, and you know, it is a great spirit. You know what I'm saying? I agree. You do give people great spirit. But man, like at some point in time, I don't know how many great spirits you can give. You
what,
know
what I'm saying? Can I chime in here?
Yeah. You can chime in. Absolutely.
Oh, like, no, as a business owner, you know what I'm saying? Just real quick. Like, we gotta be okay if our customer isn't okay. And let me explain that. We got to be okay with them complaining to us. We got to be okay with them saying, yo, look, this is how we want it done. We have to adjust to our customer. Our customer's paying for a service. They're paying for their food. Whatever it is that they're paying for, we need to be able to be on top of it as much as possible. I try, and I'm not always the greatest at it, but I try my hardest to make sure that I communicate effectively. I try to listen to what people are saying so that I could find ways to do it so that I can, like, you, like something that we did recently, I changed how I do the scheduling situation. And it seemed to have helped most people because of the amount of time you have ahead of time to see everything that's going on for the entire month. But that's from people saying, hey, man, we can't wait till the last minute. We can't wait till this. We can't wait till that. So I could get mad about people complaining to me and being like, this is how I always do business. This is how I've always done it. Or I could adjust, monitor, and adjust. And I think that especially in this area, in Florence, for some godforsaken reason, businesses want grace on things you shouldn't get grace on. Businesses want grace on things you shouldn't get grace on. Yo, like, if you don't have this item, it's something called, I worked in the restaurant industry, it's something called 86 in it. That means the cook says, we don't have the items to cook this thing. Hey, tell the servers there's an 86 on spinach dip. Okay, cool. So the waitresses know when they come into work, we don't have spinach dip. So when the customer says, hey, I want to order spinach dip, they go, oh, that's 80. I'm sorry, we don't have spinach dip. Would you like something else? Rather than ordering the spinach dip, waiting 20 minutes to come back and tell me that you ain't got the spinach dip.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's true. We as business owners, you have to be proactive. And it's not saying that you're going to alleviate a bunch of the issues, but we got to be okay if a customer ain't okay and he's telling us he ain't okay, or she's telling us he ain't okay. And then we got to monitor and adjust and figure out how we're going to make it better for them in that moment. Because guess what you can't do? Sure. You can't eat the food and pay for it later. They ain't gonna give you no grace if you ain't got the money to pay them for the food.
That's true.
You want me to give you grace as a business because you not doing what you are not good at doing? Well, then get out of business. If you don't want to deal with customer complaints, get out of business. Because everything ain't personal. If I came here to eat, I want my food in a reasonable time. I want the food. Because you're not about to take it off my bill, especially if you bring it to me late. The majority of these places here in this area are not going to say, hey, I'll take 50% off.
They damn sure ain't going to take 50% off. They might give you 15%.
You're right.
I'm telling you. And then you're not going to take 50% off when the lowest thing on your damn menu is $40. And you screwing up trying to get me my food. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say the establishment, but I went somewhere and I ordered a Tuscan pasta Tuscan chicken pasta Alfredo.
I already know.
And I ordered a spinach dip. I was there maybe 45 minutes. Lady said, "Hey, you ordered a Alfredo?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "We got the Alfredo, but the spinach dip ain't ready yet."
After 40 something minutes.
Yeah, how was the spinach dip?
Well, and that's the appetizer.
And I said, "Ma'am, I said, how is that done?" Well, they just found out that they don't have the stuff to make the spinach dip. What? So do you want somebody's going to go to the store and get the stuff and come back and make it? It's going to take about 20, 25 minutes. Y'all could keep that. Just take that off my bill. Let me just eat this pasta. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Bro, that's ghetto. That's ghetto. I'm sorry.
That's why I won't say the business I went to, but it's the norm in this area.
It's the norm. Any restaurant come in this area that stay here for a couple months, it get run down, man. Like eventually.
And the service does. And also too, the guy, y'all don't see him, but the guy that was just talking, he's not just talking. Like, I'm gonna tell you something, without putting the business out. This guy stand on everything that he just said.
That's facts.
Anytime we have ever came with a complaint, with anything, it has never been a hostile approach by him. Like, he all in his feelings, none of that. Anything that we've ever came with, he's addressed it, and he's fine-tuned it. And I want to say I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Because a lot of times in business relationships, it don't go this well. A lot of businesses end because, like he said, a business owner, they want grace, and you know, we try to offer grace, but they want grace, and then they don't expect to have no complaints. We've always done it like this. And sometimes if you've always done something away, it might not be working anymore. It might have worked for 20 years, but the last 10 years, y'all been failing. So
exactly. And if your business isn't growing, there's a reason why your business isn't growing.
Exactly.
And so if you're taking these, like you said, if you're my customer and you're saying, "Hey, look, this is a complaint," and then even if it's just you, somebody else might feel that way but hasn't expressed it. I need to make the adjustments, even if it's just for you. And this comes from what? This comes from the big businesses. This ain't, you know what I'm saying? People be like, "Man, fast food, Burger King, McDonald's, how are they still in business?" And then these smaller owned businesses can't stay in business because everybody, it's not a corporate mindset of the customer is first. F my feelings, the customer is first. Whatever they got to say, whatever we got to do, because if this customer don't come back, that's one less customer I have.
And also too, I just watched to your point, I was watching a video about a guy with a food truck the other day, and he said, and this was so profound. He said, most businesses think they're just selling food. You're selling service. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people, if your service is bad, I don't care how good your food is, I'm not coming back. It's a lot of business that went under because they feel like I can afford to lose that customer. So you never make the changes. So I can afford to lose that customer. Then another customer get mad. Then another customer leave. Yeah. So after a while, everybody start leaving. And now you looking, you got to start doing BOGO sales, buy one, get one free, because everybody leaving and your business about to go under.
Because it's this lady, man. I be following on Facebook. And she has a food truck.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't want to call the name out, man. But yo, and you know her, you know what I'm saying? Like, y'all probably know her, you know what I'm saying? Because you know she kind of heavyset, you know what I mean? But boy, listen here, man, they say her attitude is horrible, you know? But at the same time, you know, in this area right here, she don't do this area no more. She got to go somewhere else. She got to go to a whole nother area. I see she was in North Carolina. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and she probably selling out there, but eventually at some point in time,
it catches up.
It catches up with you, man.
And then once you get that name, once you get that title and that label, bro, I'm going to tell you, people can go spend their money elsewhere.
Yeah, they can.
And if your attitude is bad, if you hard to deal with, bro, people don't have to spend their money with you. Like, and it's a luxury for people to come to your establishment and spend their money to participate in anything that you're doing. Like, it's a luxury. Like, and these businesses get this mindset of, it's your pleasure to be dealing with me.
Yeah.
I don't spend money, you don't make money. And yeah, you looking at me as just one person, but chances are if I have a complaint, more than likely there's other complaints as well. And if you don't ever address it, then you know, eventually you're gonna be out of business. And then where did I go wrong?
Social media make it hard too, hard for business owners too though, you know what I'm saying? But I get the grace part, you know, having compassion because, like, for instance, when new restaurants come into town, then people normally, you know what I'm saying, the food might be bad one time, and then they're like, ah, it wasn't all that, you know what I'm saying? Okay, that's when, you know, the grace part come in. And then most of the time, these new restaurants, especially the ones that, you know, I didn't went to recently, you know, I love the way, especially the newest one, you know what I'm saying? The eatery place on the first of the month.
Oh, yeah, I've been hearing good stuff about them.
Listen, man, like, you know, you had some people that didn't like it, you had some people that did like it, but the most important part I want to point out is the fact that how I love their customer service. For one, customer service is, like, for me, is more important than the food itself, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Then the second part is, you know, they came around and asked us how it was, and then, you know, I mean, you could be completely honest, but the thing is, they want that feedback where they can make their adjustments.
Right.
And that's where I was, you know, the grace part, I can see the grace part come in at. But, you know, and going back to what you were saying, that's really what I was saying earlier on, is effective communication can, you know, eliminate, you know what I'm saying, somebody, you know, feeling some type of way or any feelings about how you do things. I think if you effectively communicate, hey, listen, I can get to you, like, specifically my situation, hey, listen, I can do what you need me to do, but I'm just be upfront with you. It might take a while because I got a lot of orders in front of me. Instead of, like, yeah, I can do it and take my stuff and then, like, you ain't get to it. And, you know what I'm saying? And I know on my part, you know, I guess I, like my wife always say, Brian, you gotta start asking questions. You know what I'm saying? How long this may take?
Turnaround time. Yeah, that's
turnaround big. Time. Like, yeah, and sometimes I don't get into all of that. You know what I'm saying? I just go off. I can do it, and never. Sometimes get the.
But also too, with like you saying with businesses, especially when you're not a huge business, you can't chase every dollar, especially when you can't perform on what you need to perform on in a timely manner. Because that's why policies and procedures. McDonald's, I'm gonna use McDonald's. In business, McDonald's don't work so well because their food is that great. McDonald's works so well because they have a system. You know that when McDonald's is cooked fresh all the time, it's gonna taste the same all the time.
Yeah.
So as a business owner, you have to have systems in place and things in place to make sure stuff like this don't happen. If you got an email, you need to be checking your emails every day, more than one time a day. There should be no excuse for lack of communication. If you know that your turnaround time is sometimes a little bit higher, you need to go ahead and lay out all your stuff in the beginning. Like, hey, yes, I can do this, but normally turnaround time is from boom, boom, boom. If anything changes, then I'll let you know. So it's certain stuff that you could do as a business owner. Like, and you can't operate a business like it's a side hustle, like it's a hobby that you're just trying to make money off of. And I tell people this a lot when they're talking about, oh, I want to start a business. I said, no, a lot of people want to start side hustles. They want to start hobbies that make money. That's you can't run a business like you do t-shirts. So, like, when I used to do t-shirts, it'd be like somebody would hit me up on Facebook or something. Yo, I want this right here. I do it on demand. Boom, boom, boom. All right, we done. You can't run business like that because business has to be ran efficiently. Because now you're saying, I got the systems. I got everything in place to be able to run. And like you said, people will offer you more grace when they see that you're actually communicating. You're trying, like...
Right.
But when it's just like you just doing a hobby, like that's not the way you do business.
That's where the frustration part come in, you know what I'm saying? That's where I was with it. So, like, I guess like I said in the last little text part, that, you know what I'm saying, it's a little of both, but, you know, especially you're dealing with somebody that's passionate about what they want. That's a whole nother topic right there, like dealing with somebody that's very passionate about certain stuff and very anal about how they want things specifically done, you know what I'm saying? But
even when it comes to communication with that too, even the passionate person, I understand, communication is so big because it's worldwide, because no business deal don't happen, no relationship don't happen, nothing happens unless communication is there. So even if you passionate about your stuff, and I'm not talking about you because I'm sure that you know how to conduct yourself, I've done seen you conduct business, but even if you're passionate, the communication still has to be a certain way. That's why I think, like, a lot of people lack on that communication thing. That's in relationships, jobs, that's everywhere. Like, communication is a thing that's, I don't even know how you would teach mass communication, but everybody need to go, a lot of people need to go back to the drawing board when it comes to communication, because a lot of people don't know how to communicate. Like, body language is part of communication. Like you said, no communication is bad communication. So right. It's a lot of people that don't communicate well at all and no sense of it. So
I ain't even gonna lie, like this book that I didn't finish reading it, and it called I forgot the name of the book. I know it has something to do with not self-awareness. Oh man, what the book I was talking about? It has something to do with emotional intelligence.
Yeah, because I was saying, but we talk about so much. Yeah, in that group chat.
Having emotional intelligence, and sometimes you don't really realize how having a high level of emotional intelligence can really move the chain forward for you in your life, and also include on better your communication with people from an individual perspective and from a mass perspective.
Break that down for me, though. Break that down. Like, what you mean by that?
Like, how having emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm. How it moves the chains.
Oh, because you get to, you know, show all the, you know what I'm saying, like, empathy. And when you kind of communicating with somebody, you just kind of, you know, you listening more, you know what I'm saying? Now, and before you get to the empathy part, like, whatever individual saying to you, whatever they need, whatever they communicating, like you listening to them without having the notion to respond, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, sometimes people hear, like listen to people, but well, they hear people, but they ain't listening what they saying. They basically ready to respond based off of whatever answer they got in their head before they even listen to the individual. So having that key eye contact with a person, understanding them, you know what I'm saying, what they saying, what they communicating, and then re-verbalize what they saying and just kind of go in more details. Like, you know, like even with de-escalating situations and stuff like that, especially if you in a leadership role, knowing how to de-escalate certain situations, understanding both parties and stuff like that. And it just kind of, you know, you feeling your way, but it basically, you know, you really in the moment when you talking with somebody, you know what I'm saying? And from the moving the chain part, it just kind of help you to articulate what the person's saying, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And executing.
So do you think that communication, good communication can be taught? Like,
yeah.
How would you, just for instance, how would you teach good communication? If you're a leader, you got two people that's under your, I don't want to say supervision, that's, we're not no animals. You got two people that's under your leadership that's kind of having a little spout. How do you do communication with that?
Just basically, you know, well, first you just gotta, you know, you will have to be stern, you know what I'm saying, the situation, like eliminate, you know what I'm saying, like, nah, stop, you know what I'm saying? This is what we're gonna do here, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna hear this person's side, I'm gonna hear your side, and then we're gonna come together and, you know what I'm saying, and see what's going on. Because most of the time, when somebody having a disagreement because it's miscommunicated, you know what I'm saying, what's really going on, you know what I'm saying? And when I say miscommunicated, like, nobody ain't listening to nobody. And you can tell when somebody, like, even within my marriage early on, like, me and my wife used to shout at each other, but we ain't never, we weren't gaining nowhere, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We left the situation like mad, she mad, with no clarity, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So basically, you know, teaching people to, you know what I'm saying, okay, all right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to hear this side, we're going to hear your side, and then we're going to come to a common ground, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, you know, your posture got to be a certain way. You can't be overly aggressive and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You just got to really realize the individual, like how they are, the characters and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? All of that really play in the factor when you really trying to de-escalate something and just kind of calm everybody down. Now, they might not agree, but you ain't trying to get into agreement. You just really trying to get them to understand each other's perspective, and then, like, okay, what we going to do now to move forward? You
right.
know what I'm saying? But, you know, like that book, you know, I just finished that book, man, and I ain't really had bad issues with I did early on. Like, I had some issue with communicating starting off with home, at home, communicating to my spouse, man. Like, that really, and communicating to my kids, you know what I'm saying? And getting them to kind of open up about different things, even that still be a struggle. But, like, that book helped me to understand just to sit still, being in the moment, just be there in that present moment right there, and then just listen what that person's saying and understand what they're saying. Like, not be like, well, this is how I feel, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But nah, like, okay, I understand where you're coming from.
So basically, like, because a big point of what you're saying is the listening part and, like, being slow to speak. I think we in the culture now, we're like, everybody want to have the last word. Everybody want to say something. But being slow to speak, sometimes a soft answer turn away wrath. But I think
that's
like,
scripture right there too.
Yeah. That's definitely Bible
both of,
now.
But both of everything you just said, like being slow to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I think that's in the book of James. And the last part you just said.
Yep, that's definitely where I got it from the word. I don't know exactly where it's from, but I think like what you're saying is very important because I know a lot of times we get into self-preservation mode. Somebody coming at you, oh no, I'm about to defend myself. Right. And that's natural to want to defend yourself. But I think if we can agree that every time, we ain't gonna come to no agreement, like you said, every time we ain't gonna agree. Sometimes you're gonna have your viewpoint, I'm gonna have my viewpoint. But the thing is, can we respect each other's viewpoint and be like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And then like you said, when we're into it, let's not talk at each other. Let's talk to each other. And I think, you know, sometimes timing with arguments and heated situations is a big thing because we want to go ahead and get this hashed out right now. Mm-hmm. Sometimes hashing it out right now ain't the best option. Now, don't go to sleep with it on you. But the thing is, okay, you might be super mad right now. I might be super mad right now. So now we about to talk at each other because now both of us, we want to make our point. We're not being slow to speak, so we just, boom, we spewing out stuff. We in self-defense mode, so I'm going to defend myself because I'm already mad and I feel like you're coming at me. If we could ever just get, and that's basic stuff. It's way deeper than that. Like you said, body language, that all that stuff plays a huge part.
It does, man. And the last little part I want to add in with that is no 9 out of 10, you know, most of the time we take it personal when somebody coming at us a certain type of way. But really, like the person, because like say for instance, I'm a passionate person sometimes, and which that passionate turn into my energy, my posture, like my tone and everything else. But, you know, and I'm saying all this because my wife be like, Brandon, like your voice just went up. But, you know what I'm saying? I be like, you know, right now I feel like I'm at a 4, you know what I'm saying? But she be like, nah, your voice just went up. And so that plays a major part. And I know a lot of times people be like, dang, like I got to change for people and stuff like that. I just think it's just being more, you know, being effective with your communication and also tone and everything else, man, like that matters. Like, can you imagine somebody, like, I remember I read a book with one of T.D. Jakes' books, man, and T.D. Jakes' books, I can't even think of the book name because I ain't even read it, the whole thing, because the very first page, I ain't hardly got past the introduction part because he was putting all these big words in there. I got to get my dictionary and then be like, hey, what is this? And I just think that understanding your audience, you know what I'm saying? You know, like, most common people don't really know them big ass words that you put in his damn book. You know what I'm saying?
And then, like, with him being a Bible person, he should know the Bible say rightfully divide the word. Like, I think it might not be those exact words, but basically, make it where anybody can understand.
Anybody can understand. You
don't want to talk over people's head, like, because for one, it start making people mad.
Yeah,
it start making people feel some type of way, and now they're not receiving what you're saying. I don't have to use these extravagant words to get you to understand the point because if we break it down in the simplest form, it's gonna dawn on me a little bit more than me having to stop, go look in the dictionary, then you know, try to figure it out. So you know, not talking over people here is a major thing too.
Yeah, that basically really, man, just going back to what we were talking about, like just, you know, effective communication plays a major part in all aspects of our lives, man. Like when you think about it, like what you said earlier. And I absolutely believe that, you know, it can be taught. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It can be taught. You know, early on, especially with dealing with the youth a whole lot, man, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to tell you how my dad did certain things and, like, okay, how he communicate. So my pops had 3 boys, 3 sons, you know what I'm saying? And so his approach was for him to be aggressive towards us, even with his words, his verbiage, and everything else, because he was trying to establish level like how lions do, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, this is my kingdom, you know what I'm saying, in a sense. But really, he ain't really took all that, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, okay, like with the youth that we have now growing up, you know, like what I realized, like, with mentoring the youth, man, like, if I have that type of attitude, aggressiveness, you know what I'm saying, towards them, they're going to push them out into the streets, man. Sometimes you got to be kind of opposite. And we do have a young man, a couple of young guys, man, that come into the group. But this one specific one, man, he come in there with he just angry and, you know what I'm saying? He just come in like he got an attitude. Like, and I don't know what he suffered with in his personal life, man. But, you know, my tone, my posture, even me. One day I said, man, come here, man. Come here. You know what I'm saying? I tried to hug him. He like, he didn't want no hug. So I just went over there, not in a forceful way, but, man, I said, man, it's going to be all right, man, for real. He said, you're going to be all right. And, you know, I hug him. You know what I'm saying? And for a split second, I felt that, like, the release, his energy, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it just kind of like, at first it was like this, and then when I hugged him, I said, it's going to be all right, bro. Come on, it's going to be all right, man. And then his shoulders went down, like, he felt that releasing. So it just—
communication, body language.
Yeah, that's why I say all of that matters, yo. All of that matters, man. At one point in time, I thought none of that really actually mattered.
It mattered. And then even to your point about the young man, you'll be surprised at how these younger guys, I don't know where it happened at, why it happened, but a lot of them don't feel love. They never have felt love. And like, I was listening to a young boy one day, and he said in the song, I just want to be loved. Like, you will be surprised what that hug, what y'all do for those guys, even though it might not seem like it's reaching anywhere. It probably goes a place where you wouldn't even think, man. So, like, even though sometimes, you know, doing the stuff that you do can be discouraging, man, keep it up, man, because some things you have to chisel away at. Some things don't just come off by in a day, 2 days, a week. Some things, man, you just have to chisel away at.
That's a major point right there, boy, because some days it look like we be relapsing. Like, yeah. Some weeks it look like we're relapsing. Like,
you
want
to know what's crazy about relapses, bro? I was for my job, we went to a simulation. That's like where you kind of like put yourself in the shoes of somebody. But this simulation was for drug users. I'm not going to say addicts, drug users. They said those people normally relapse like 9 or 10 times before they get clean. And during that fight, a lot of them end up fighting alone, because most people stick with you for 2, your mom and them, you know, close people, they stick for you about 3 or 4. But after that, everybody lost faith in you. So you end up fighting this thing alone. So even though it seemed like those guys are relapsing, stick with them, man.
Yeah.
Don't let them guys fight it alone, man, because what y'all do really matter. And y'all will be surprised that if those guys live a long time, if their story is ever told by them, the impact that y'all had on those guys' life, man, because like I said, a lot of young males don't feel love. I'm not saying nobody don't love them, but they don't feel it. I don't know why, but that's just how they be feeling.
Yeah, I don't even know it just made me think about, man, this one particular church I went to when I was in my early 20s. And, you know, this specific pastor, man, he used to be like out the church. He said, he always like, Brother Brandon, he's like, how you doing? And then he used to be like, I love you now. And I ain't know how to say it back. I ain't even know how to receive that. You know? Because listen, you know, growing up in our household, them words ain't never been spoken. And I never, honest to God, truth, never heard that from a man telling me that he loved me. And it almost felt like it was kind of, like, made me felt funny, man.
Like, I'm gonna be real.
That major pain when little buddy hugged him.
The little tiger dude.
He hugged him. He felt like all fuzzy inside. He'd be like, and he turned around and put him in the headlock. Yeah, that's how I felt.
Like, and it's like with some guys growing up, for to be 20 something and the pastor telling you, I love you, man, you're like, I don't know what this dude, like, what he got going
on? Yeah,
like, feel weird. It shouldn't. And the Bible said in the last days, the love of many shall wax cold. And so I guess some people done got cold hearted. It's the way they was raised. I don't know what it is, especially for young black males. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. But, man, it do be kind of tough, like, when you ain't used to that. Because, like, I used to see, like, in my hood where we from, we'd be like, love that nigga.
Yeah.
Like, they won't say, I love you, bro. I got to the habit, like, I'm kind of one that, like, broke the mold, like, I love you, bro. Like,
you got to add that bro behind it.
Yeah, but nah, I say I love you, dog. I love you. Like, bro, because then they know, like, bro, ain't no funny bone in my body. I don't play like that. So yeah. At the end of the day, like, bro, no, it's okay to say that.
I hear people, my brother even say, like, love, B, love.
Nah, that's not real. That's not real. They might love you, but like, bro, what's wrong with saying I love you?
It's like, too hard, man.
It's too you, but
that's exhausting being too hard.
It is. Like, you got to be a rough neck 24/7. Like, bro, everybody want to let their guard down. A lot of people don't know how though, but you know, nobody want
to
be hard 24/7.
Speak on that though, man. Like that how exhausting it is to be hardcore 24/7.
Man, you got to think. Most of these dudes is hardcore with their women. They hardcore with their kids. Like, let's say you with your woman. Bro, to not be able to open up to your woman is crazy to me. That should be the one person that you feel comfortable enough to cry in front of it if it was a crying situation. And some people, it's so hard. Like, if they do start crying, they wipe away their tears hard. Bro, you that hard that you can't even cry? Like, bro, that's a God-given human emotion and you can't do it.
I'm that person.
Nah, bro, something is wrong with that, dog.
I agree. Something is very wrong with that. It's something had broken me, man. Like, I used to be able to cry. Hey, I remember even my mama used to say this up, man, because she had, like I said, my mom was a tomboy. I had three boys. Then finally had my little sister. But it's a difference between crying and whining, though.
Yeah, whining, you know what I'm saying? That's
the whining is different.
Yeah, I used to be a whiner when I was little, and I was a crybaby.
But my mama said, boy, you better not cry. You bought them lips up.
But see, I'm gonna be honest. When parents do that, no knock on your mama, but it's a lot of parents that do that. But you mess your kids up when you do that. Yeah. I'm not saying you should be crying and whining about everything, but how do you expect a 5-year-old to fall and bust his knee to the white meat? He ain't supposed to cry at all. Because you go and tell him don't boy, you better not cry. Now with my nephew, what I used to do is if he fall and he cry, all right, man. You good, wipe it off.
Shake it off.
You good.
Hey, but you give him a moment, though.
Yeah, you get your moment. Don't wallow in it. Yeah. Don't wallow in it. But it's okay to have emotion. This is God-given stuff. Like, we ain't above that.
Because there's a difference when you wallow in it and you want some attention and you want some love. You know what I'm saying? I feel that too, man. But, yeah, like, so with me, man, I remember I ain't crying so long, man. And one day, you know what I'm saying, I was venting to my wife about something. This was like probably our second year of marriage or something. Man, I vented to her, and man, I had a little tear in there, and boy, I cried. Boy, I cried for 20 minutes straight. Bro, I had a headache.
Bro, that was probably much needed, bro.
Boy, because I couldn't stop. I literally couldn't stop. Well,
so how did you feel after that, though?
Boy, I felt so released and light, man. I felt so light, and that's when it kind of dawned on me, you know, them tears is releasing, like,
you
tension
know
on your life.
Because those tears are like weights, and the more they fall, I'm not saying you should be crying about everything, but in certain moments, those tears are like weights, and the more they drop, the freer you become. It's like shedding pounds almost. Like, and if you ain't done that in years, just think about all that weight you got on, all those pounds you got on you that you never get out. So when it come, you like, dang, bro, I can't even stop it. Like, that's because that weight.
I
want to
do that often, man. Like, even when, you know what I'm saying, like, I'm meditating and praying to God, yo. Like, I want to do that a lot more often, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just being in his presence and just, you know what I'm saying, and just tearing up about that. I ain't even going to lie. Like, not in, like, a bad way, but just in a way where, I mean, ain't nothing bad about crying.
You know, nah, not at all. That's a real human emotion.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Most of the time, like, you know, and I think I got to turn off this little lock that got in my brain since I was young, you know what I'm saying? That, you know, my parents, man, just kind of instilled in us, because, you know, we all cry, though.
You hear me? Yeah, for me. For men, I just think, you know, Yeah. Don't nobody want, like, and like I said again, let me reiterate, because some people always hear little snippets of stuff I say and be like, yeah, I didn't agree when you said men should be crying.
People be saying that?
Yeah. I have people tell me I didn't agree with. I'm not That's saying cool. You should be just walking around here just boo-hooing. But yo, if something touch you and it's okay if tears roll, it is fine. You are, like, one thing about life, bro, you still have to understand. I don't care how much God you got in you, how much knowledge you got in you, how much money you got. You are still a human. You are still going to have the human experience. There is nothing that you can do while on this earth, while in this human body, that's going to take away the human experience. You're still going to feel sad. You're still going to feel down. You're going to feel depressed. You're going to feel all of this stuff. So crying is part of the human experience. The shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept. That's John 11:35. If Jesus wept, what make you think that we are void of that human emotion? This is the strongest person ever. And Jesus wept. He wept because he was feeling down. He wept because he was sad, but he wept. That's at the end of the day, no matter the reason, he wept. So it shows you right then and there that whole notion of men ain't supposed to cry. How'd Jesus cry? But we ain't supposed to, that's part of the human experience. So you're going to deal with that in life. So the whole notion that people are raised to think men don't cry, that's why y'all can't communicate now. That's why y'all can't express feelings now. That's why when you get mad, these young people get mad. That's why they want to go kill somebody, because they don't know how to just communicate and say, yo, yeah. I didn't like when you did that to me, yo. I didn't like when you said that. I didn't like how you did that. Nah, I want to go drill, because they've never been taught how to communicate. As two men was gangster, but was really gangster, it's for two men to be able to sit down and say, hey, bro, when you did that, I ain't like that. Or when you did that, I ain't like that. That way we ain't got to kill each other. That way neither one of our kids ain't got to cry, because we still here.
Yeah, that's
gangster.
I think that's the part of being hard like that. It numbs you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And really, like, you almost like, hey, yeah, really. You know what I'm saying? You're like a robot, because you know not to feel. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the most realest thing ever, man. Like, and that's something that I said I was, you know, I want to kind of tap into. There's a lot of stuff that I'm, you know, at this age I'm shedding, you know what I'm saying? Old doctrines that, you know what I'm saying, I learned growing up and stuff like that, man. And, you know, I'm just shedding all of that stuff, you know what I'm saying? Realize, like, that's like, you know, chains that been holding me back
right.
from being who God called me to be. And no disrespect to my parents or even my grandparents for the most part, because they did the best that they know of, you know what I'm saying? But then as I kind of got older, I just realized there's a lot of things that I gotta shed, you know what I'm saying? I ain't even going to lie. You right. said, what the time looking like? 53
okay,
minutes?
So they got this saying, and this is what I'm looking up now. Yeah. It says, it is easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. And that's by Frederick Douglass. If you do the work early and you teach these kids early, we don't have to be 30, 40 years old learning how to get in touch with our emotions. Because now you got a lady, you got kids, that becomes everybody else's burden to bear as well. Now they got to bear the burden of a man that don't know how to express his feelings. They got to bear the burden, a wife got to bear the burden of a husband not knowing how to say he felt some type of way. The kids got to bear a burden of their dad not being emotionally available. That's why you do the work when you're young. And because we got so little bit of time left, there's something that's really been pressing in my spirit to discuss. Lately, there's been a wave of, like, depression and, like, people just going through, like, mental battles. And so today, well, before today, but I was looking at these things, and the Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers and rulers, against dark rulers of the dark world. It's been a lot of spiritual warfare going on, and people being so depressed, so down, anxiety, and it's just, you look at the state of the world, you look at all the stuff that's going on, and we just thinking, like, it's just something. No, bro, this is spiritual warfare, because the Bible also says, when the spirit of the Antichrist shall come, it shall mess with the saints' mind, it shall mess with people's mind. Like, and it's a lot of people that's going through mental battles and all of that stuff. Y'all, go get help. It's a lot of people. I've talked to people, no lie, this week that said, yo, they were at their wits' end and they felt like giving up and they felt like being done. Man, get y'all some help, y'all. Y'all, like, we got to quit talking about therapy if we're not going to go and do the work. Y'all got to go get some help. We get it. And then also, too, get with some faith, with some faith-based people. Get in your word. Start praying more, like, really, and stop saying these cutesy prayers like, Lord, thank you for waking me up this morning. Like, that's all well and good. That's all great. Talk to God about what you're really going through. Talk to him about your mental, where you're trying to get to, but seek help, y'all. Like, because we really, I've never seen depression like we're seeing it now. And a lot of people, you know, you got the older generation, the older people that's, no, this new generation, it's a lot of older people going through depression. Not, mm-hmm. The people that I'm talking about ain't no 20-something year old people. It's 40, 30, like late 30s, 40s, 50 year olds really going through some stuff. And part of that is this, and this is what I want to hit on, and you hit on it earlier, but I still wanted to save it. People pleasing, boundaries is such an important thing, because I feel, and I told the people that I was talking to, I feel as though a lot of those problems are because you are letting parasite spirits latch on to you. And the crazy part is if you should die, that parasite is going to find somebody else to leech on. Setting boundaries with people don't make you mean. It don't make you hateful. It don't make you none of that. It just says, I love myself enough to not put everybody's problems on me. Jesus died, and he took on everybody's problems. You're not the second coming of Jesus. There is no reason why having boundaries for yourself is a bad thing. And don't let nobody trick you and make you think you wrong for having boundaries. If somebody call your phone and every time they call you, it's a sob story, it's a bad story, you're not obligated to pick up that phone every time that person call. If every time somebody call you, they want something, they need something, you're not obligated to pick up that call. That don't make you a bad person. That don't make you less than. If people are leeching off you and those parasites are clinging onto you, get them off you. There is nothing wrong with saying, I love myself enough to get my peace of mind, because that is something that you cannot buy. I don't care how much you shop. I don't care what you do. Because one thing about your mind being captive, you can go somewhere, that mind is still with you. Those thoughts are still with you. It's okay to look after your well-being and your mental well-being. Like, I know I went on a rant just now, but I really had to say that, man, because it is like this mental, spiritual warfare that we got going on, man, it's crazy. And I've never heard people talk about suicide as much as I've been hearing like and reading about it lately. Because it's a lot of people going through a lot of stuff. But I think a big part of that, like I said, is setting boundaries for yourself, right. And allowing yourself to disconnect from people who mean you no good. Because if you steady pouring out to people and ain't nobody pouring back into you, hey, you're going to be empty. Get a better prayer life. Get you a journal. Write your feelings out if you got to. If you ain't got nobody to talk to, write your feelings out. But seek a therapist. But if you can't, until you get one, write your feelings out. Get that pressure off of you. And don't let nobody make you feel bad for choosing you. If it's your kids and they grown and they ain't trying to do no better, choose you. If it's your spouse, your partner, choose you if they bringing you down. At the end of the day, some things in life are going to change when you start choosing you. And that's really all I got on that one.
Dang, well, I guess that basically is one thing I want to add into that. That what you're saying, like people dealing with depression, anxiety, especially around the holidays. A lot of times people lost loved ones around this time of the year, and the effect is just by that alone, because their life has been changed for, you know what I'm saying, forever. One of the things I realized how the enemy works, sometimes he want to put you in the isolation mode. When you feel like you isolated, you know what I'm saying, a lot of times you feel like you got to deal with things personally by yourself, but nah, you don't have. You don't have to deal with it by yourself. You know what I'm saying? And that's the number one key thing, too, as well, for the enemy, to isolate you and keep you in your head. Once you get in your head, I promise you, man, like, it's a whole lot of stuff that, you know, you probably thinking about. And all of those are lies, because why? The enemy is a liar. You know what I'm saying? He's deceitful. So, you know, certain things he's going to put in your head by things. But find yourself a community, a faith-based community. And you know what I'm saying? And go from there. That's my last little spill. You know
I love saying? It. We done. We out of here.
Yes, sir.